Matthew chapter 28, familiar passage at the end of the gospel. I do thank you for your prayers, and thank you in advance for praying for us. We know that our great need is the Lord, His grace and His work in our hearts and the hearts of those that hear the word as well. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18. I'll pray and then I'll read my text, which is really in part a combination of what we have here and from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do praise thee and thank thee for thine everlasting mercies. Thou art Almighty God, perfect in holiness, in wisdom, in justice, in righteousness, and of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. Lord, we thank thee for thine everlasting kindness and mercy in the eternal covenant of grace. And Father, that you ordained life in place of death for all thy people through our precious Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thee that as we come, Lord, we are able to confess our sin, and we're able to know that you're a merciful and gracious God to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you for the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. Lord, we pray you do that cleansing work afresh, and Father, work by thy Spirit, teach our hearts, increase our faith. Give us wisdom and understanding to live by thy word and to obey thy commandments and to draw near to thee and be constant in prayer without ceasing. Father, that we may receive the wonderful continual mercies and gifts that you delight to give to your children. And Lord, we pray for the giving of faith where there is none, the giving of life, Lord, and that each one of us may grow in faith and be strengthened to do thy blessed will. Lord, we pray that as each of us in our places serve thee, that we might be guided by thee in how to love our neighbors and in loving thee with all our strength and all our soul, all our heart. Lord, more and more as we look forward to that day when we shall love thee perfectly in heaven. And Lord, we pray that you take my words now and bless us, Lord, and as we think about thy work and the ministry of the gospel, but also the ministry you've given to each of us to be an example and to speak of Christ and lead our children to Christ and teach them the ways of God and nephews and nieces and grandchildren and neighbors. We pray that thou wouldst guide and bless us. And we pray also that as we think about the work in Chile as well that you've given us to do at this time, Lord, we pray that thy blessing would be with our brethren there and thou wouldst make us a blessing to them. And we do ask these things with thanksgiving in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Uh, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll read verses 1 and 2. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I'll read it again in a few moments. Thank you for your love for missions, for Christian missionary work. We thank you for your interest in hearing of our work in Chile. And it was actually a pastor on the other coast, in California, when we were going out to visit there, that mentioned what was basically almost the same thing Pastor Anderson mentioned here when we first talked about the possibility of preaching a message to you. The idea of incorporating some of what we're doing in Chile and what the Lord is doing in Chile, or Chile, into the message that led to this message. So while it is expository, there's a lot of application through our efforts to obey God's word. And also, I think that as we consider the fact that the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, a minister of the gospel, we see, first of all, the duty and the responsibility, which is so great upon gospel ministers, a minister of the gospel. But secondarily, we as ministers are to be an example, as Paul tells Timothy, to all. And so elders, deacons, as well being examples of what a Christian is ought to be, of what Christ is and was on his time on earth, and how we should love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and strength and mind, and how we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And so I believe it's also helpful to, as you think about, as we take a few minutes to think upon what we're doing in Chile and how as a family we seek to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, not myself only, which of course preaching the gospel and ministering the word, in season, out of season, but also in our own lives with our children, seeking to disciple the children, seeking to help parents to disciple their children, and reaching out to our neighbors and so on for the building of the church. That's basically what this is all about. So when Pastor Anderson mentioned something similar, I thought, this is the message for tonight, for today. Now, that's basically what we're saying. Now, you have been a great blessing to us as we've gotten to know you this year, or I should say during the past year that we've been here, because we arrived in April last year, and we're about to go back to Chile, Lord willing, this April, in a few days. And we thank you for your prayers. To sum up what I've said so far, basically, what we're doing in Chile, as a family, I believe, is just the same thing, really, that all of us, as the Christian church, should be doing or seeking to do everywhere. And so that's why I hope that you will take this and that the Holy Spirit can help you to apply it personally in your own lives as how you will seek to, serve the Lord. We serve the Lord, obviously, when we come even to worship. We invite others to worship, but we are worshiping the living God. And hopefully when unbelievers come and sit among us, or even Christians that are perhaps wandering somewhat aimlessly and not in the right place or not going to church at all, and, doesn't seem like that should be possible, but I guess it may be. And they can hear your witness, they can see your witness, they can experience your love towards them and hear the message of the Word of God and the Lord can use that in their lives as well. So the main point here is, as Christ's witnesses, you and I must proclaim and teach the truth of Christ, constantly and patiently, with reproof, with exhortation, seeking to make disciples of Christ. So again, to read verse 2 here, 2 Timothy 4:2, the apostle says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Doctrine is teaching. Longsuffering is patience, continuing to persevere in doing what Christ calls us to do. And that is, of course, obeying his commandments. And in Matthew 28, we read about making disciples. There's three participles in the verse. As you are going, baptizing, teaching, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The one imperative is make disciples, which in our version is translated teach all nations. Of all nations, make disciples. And so this is what we as a church, I believe that command in particular at the end of Matthew 28, as it was given to the apostles and the disciples, and yet it was really given in their person to the whole church. And all of us are responsible. We are all responsible to maintain the ministry of the gospel so that in our local church, the gospel is preached regularly from the pulpit. And there's a witness here in Stratford to your neighbors. And you are all witnesses in your workplaces and in the interactions that you have with people and in the communities around. And Lord willing, in time to come, more will be attracted and drawn by your testimony to the truth and by your love into where they can be blessed with the gospel and come to know Christ and become disciples of Christ as well. Now, one other thing I'd like to say in prefacing this discussion, and as I mentioned, it's very largely applicatory. You know, example, I don't really like talking about ourselves very much, but that's what we have here. It's not so much, you know, a typical expository sermon, but we wanted to explain something of what we're doing in Chile as we go through this. I want to preface it by saying, we try. You know, I preached a message not too long ago. They asked me to do a message on the glory of God in Christian education. As you know, we have 8 children. We've been involved with home education from the very beginning. And the Lord is blessed through his grace and mercy. You know, we seek to obey his commandments, but we try. We fail. Many times we fail. And so we depend upon God's grace. And what I would have liked to say, have said when I preached that message on Christian education, the same thing I'm about to say now, is that you know, God shows his grace. I'm not saying that we've done everything perfectly, you know, in raising our children or in you know, there in Chile as we minister the gospel, but rather we're seeking to faithfully obey Christ and do his will in presenting the gospel. And by God's grace, he builds his kingdom. As I mentioned on Friday night, Jesus is the one building his kingdom. He's the one adding to his church. And so each of us, all of us, need to simply seek to be faithful to Christ, serve him, and confessing our sins and seeking to improve as we grow in faith and obedience and trusting him for the result, looking to him and praying to him. And even if you have grown children, praying that the Lord would continue to work in their hearts and that he would continue to, he would be gracious and save and bring back or edify and grow his church in all the different ways that he does this. So God shows his grace, and ultimately anything that's accomplished in this world by Christians is because of the grace of God and through Christ. So again, as Christ's witnesses, you and I must proclaim and teach the truth of Christ constantly and patiently. And I think we do that as a team as well. Now, we are the body of Christ. And so while we do it individually, we also do it as a team and as a church and so on, and maintaining the ministry. constantly and patiently with reproof, seeking to make disciples of Christ. And first of all, this is what we must do with our own children. We believe it starts in our home. It starts in our homes. And perhaps your children are already grown and out of the home, or maybe some of you have not had children, but you may have nieces, nephews, grandchildren, and all sorts of different situations. And you can help those that are doing this task, because it's not an easy task, right? As I said in my other message on Christian education, families are struggling today. The schools are getting worse. And even sometimes there's dangers in Christian schools, of course, through the peers and whatnot. I rejoice to hear that when you had the Christian school here, it was covenant children. And so that helps a little in insulation from the world. But still, you have children that see things on TV and bring them into the interaction with other children and so on. So a lot of times in schools, one of the great dangers is the peers and the fellow students that children learn from, learn evil from. But we have a responsibility, first of all, to make disciples of our children, right? To lead them in the way of Christ, to lead them to look to Christ and God and serve Him and love Him with all their heart. We know we're dependent, you know. Ye must be born again. Unless the Lord breathes His Spirit into the child, he's not going to be a true follower of Christ. So we have to call upon the Lord. But nevertheless, we know He uses His word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have to feed them the word. We feed them the catechism, teach them these words even before they know what they mean, and count on the Lord as we pray to give them understanding of what the catechism means. And it's wonderful how He does. It is God's purpose for the Christian family that we should make disciples of Christ. And what a blessing, too, that in a little nucleus of a family, God does so many things well. He gives that opportunity where a child can see the love of his parents and get to know God as his parents speak of Christ and so on. It is God's purpose for the Christian family to support one another as followers of Christ and to make disciples of our children and others, and then to serve the Lord and others for Christ. So I'd like to read in that connection Deuteronomy 6, one of the classic texts for a family, right when the Lord says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Verse 6 in Deuteronomy 6 says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. To Israel, hear, O Israel," he says, "these words, my commandment, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind, might." He says this should be in your heart. And Jesus our Lord said, this is the greatest commandment. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So basically all the time, right? In every situation, you're to be discipling your children. You're to be teaching them of Christ, speaking to them of the word of God. And of course, for that, you need to be meditating in the law of the Lord day and night, as the psalmist. And so the call of the Lord to Israel was that they must teach their children, not just circumcise them on the eighth day, where we baptize the infants, but in faith that God will use His word as we teach them His word as they're growing up, and bless in the covenant. You know, God said about Abraham, "I know he will teach his children to follow the way," paraphrasing what the Lord said to Abraham. And this was shortly after He commanded him to put that sign of the covenant on his children. So it's our responsibility, it's parents' responsibility, not the states, but the parents chiefly that are responsible. And of course, the church should seek to help the parents and exhort them to do this, to teach their children at all times, when they're sitting, when they're walking, when they're lying down, and so on. We, as a family, therefore, have worship, family worship, together as a family. And I was glad to hear someone praying for us in your family worship. And even when there's just two, a married couple, you can have family worship, and you should have family worship. We as a family, we do in the morning and in the evening. Wednesday night, we have prayer meeting, so we don't have family worship in the evening on Wednesday night. But we seek to do it, and sometimes we miss, for one reason or another, the morning or the evening. But then we have the other one. So what we do is we pray, we sing, we read the Word of God, and then I lead in prayer again based upon what we read and commented from the Word of God. And then we take any requests, like you just did a minute ago, and have prayer. So this is our general system or model of family worship. And this has brought great fruit. It's one of the things we really emphasize in Chile, because among the parents and so on. Both home education, but also family worship. It's so important for Christians, and so important for your home. And even if it's a marriage, is so important for your marriage, to be praying together, to be reading the Word of God together. God makes us one, and then we live for Him together, and we feed on His Word together. And God, how does a husband shepherd his wife, if not by reading the Word of God and leading in prayer? Worship is like breathing for the Christian. When we're Christians, when we love the Lord, we know the Lord, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to worship Him. We love Him because He first loved us. So we want to be where He is exalted. We want to be where the Word is truly and faithfully preached. And also in our home, we need to worship. We need to have personal worship, and we should also have family worship. Christianity is life. It's a life, as I was mentioning this morning, but it's also a life. It's not simply, 1 hour or a couple hours on the Lord's Day, but it's all week long. We are Christians, and we serve the Lord, and we worship, and we live for the Lord, because He lived for us and died for us. So it's not just for the Lord's Day. Worship is like breathing for the Christian. And secondly, as parents, we must reprove and correct our children. So I think, in a sense, I'm talking about missionary work and making disciples, but it does start with our family, if we have a family. We need to work on our family. As one of the pastors, even a Chilean down there, said one time, your family is your first church. And I agree. We reprove and correct our children. Discipline is essential to discipleship. As the Lord says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod and reproof shall drive it far from him. Reproof is one of the things that Paul said to Timothy he must engage in. And so, as all of us are born with a corrupt heart and a foolishness of sin, tendency towards sin, we need the reproof of God's word, not just the rod, not just correction and chastisement, but it is accompanied by the word and exhortation and reasons so that the child can understand what he's done wrong, how he's violated the scripture, and how many times we as parents have had opportunity to present the gospel when the child has done something wrong, and we take him aside and we're going to discipline him, and we explain how Christ died to forgive us of our sin and so on, and point to Christ and His need of the Spirit of salvation. I remember especially with Josiah, I emphasized that so much. You need to ask the Lord to give you His Spirit. And the Lord is gracious to hear our prayers. Now, the discipline has to be in love. This is not popular these days, right? But it is what God calls for, and not just in the one verse we read so far, but in many places. But we need to discipline in love. That's always very important. Be gentle always, but firm. Training involves correction and instruction. As 2 Timothy 3:16, we're not very far from that, says, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And this is necessary in our families and in all type of educational and training situations. We seek to train our children. And discipline is essential to learning. A child must honor and obey his parents. It all starts there. When there's not discipline in a home, you can't really home educate very well. And of course, you know from school experience that that's also necessary in any kind of a educational situation. We were recently at a conference in St. Louis with some very, very well-behaved children. And there were about 1,000 people there, and most of them, many of them were home-educated. But you could notice that they were very well-behaved, large families in a lot of cases. And the minister, one of the ministers that spoke said this, I marked his words, the use of the rod leads to love and sweetness. And I think he's right. You know, a lot of times, it's funny how that works sometimes, but it does. The use of the rod leads to love and sweetness. And it's necessary. There needs to be correction in love. And with explanation, like it's the rod, like it says in the scripture, the rod and reproof in Proverbs. So the child knows that the Lord and the parent correct the child out of love. Another thing, too, is he needs to understand that he's sinned against God, right? Not just against his dad or mom, but the sin and the offense is against God, who told him to honor his father and his mother and to obey them in all things. And so sometimes we'll, you know, quote Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything, and they memorize these verses and so on. Correct the child out of love. And Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. God chastens us because he loves us. He doesn't want to leave us go in the ways of sin. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So you need to disciple your children, and that requires discipline and instruction. Thirdly, we seek to be a good example to our children. And this is probably the toughest thing. You know, they learn by what they see, right? More than from what they hear sometimes and what we try to teach them. And they learn from what they see in others. And this is a great danger, as I already mentioned, with schools. And it's essential to be selective with respect to interaction with other children. Even if you're home in a home education, you have to watch who they interact with because they're going to learn from those others. Ideally, it would be with families that are doing other families that are doing the same things that honor the Lord, other families from the church, others that are seeking to implement what God tells us is the way we need to raise the children for Christ. Be an example, and fourth, you must instruct them also. You must verbally teach them what the gospel is, because we can learn wonderful things from looking at the stars, that God is great and awesome, created all this universe, but we don't understand the gospel from it. We need to speak of Christ and speak of the way of salvation to the children. Teach them the truth of God. And we need to teach them also the biblical perspective on every subject. Because God is the God of everything. And so he's the God of math. He has a reason for why we would study that and use it and how we use it. And the biblical purpose for that thing. So that's why I think a Christian school is a wonderful thing, because there is an attempt to teach the Word of God and guide the thoughts of the children in all these areas according to His Word. The biblical purpose for each subject and the truth of God with respect to each area of learning. So this is first what we must do all with our own children. Seek to do, and look to the Lord to bless. Secondly, then as a family team, we are seeking to win others to Christ and help families in Chile to disciple their children and serve Christ. And so this is kind of an evangelism model for us. And we as a family try to practice friendship evangelism, getting to know people, letting them get to know us, and talking to them about Christ. Of course, we go out to the plaza and hand out tracts as well and so on, and sometimes speak to people cold turkey. But it's just important for people to know that you know, they're just not somebody to preach to, but we actually want to show them the love of Christ. And so as you speak to people and get to know them and show some caring for them in your own community here, it can open up the door for them to listen to what you have to say about Christ as well, if they start to believe that you love them. In Colossians 3, let me read Colossians chapter 3. This is a little bit before Timothy, if you'll look at it. I already mentioned one of these scriptures, but Paul says several things to various members of the family. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So the Lord has something for everyone in their family, commandments that respect each member in each one of the positions in the family. And we are seeking to disciple parents and spouses to strengthen families and disciple fathers and how to be fathers and mothers, how to be mothers and disciple their children. Paul also mentions this in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 5, as you know. As I mentioned earlier, we have always sought to emphasize the duty of family worship. I think it's a principal thing, and especially Christians down there in Chile as well as everywhere are sometimes neglectful in this duty, and it's very, very essential. So we're teaching parents their responsibilities, calling them to lead daily family worship and disciple their children. We have always promoted home education. We think it's a wonderful thing that it gives the opportunity for a mother, in most cases, because the father's out working, to have a lot of time with their children, the child to have a lot of time with their mother. And children tend to respond very well in that relationship and like learning. Sometimes the school, and we see this a lot in Chile, there's not a very great... you know, mainly in the government schools, I guess, success rate in leading the children to like reading, I guess, because they're forced to it and that sort of thing, or maybe they're not taught very well how to read. And so a lot of Chileans don't like to read so much. And that, of course, puts them kind of behind the eight ball, you know, sets them back to a certain extent. Education, as I've also mentioned before, equals discipleship. It is a way of making a disciple, making a follower of Christ, leading them in some way. And it's the parents' responsibility, not the state's responsibility, to educate our children, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6. The state is not discipling the children to follow Christ, to obey the scriptures. To the contrary, they're leading them astray in many cases in the government schools. So while we've been down there, we've spoken at three homeschool conferences. My wife and I both have done workshops for the parents. And two of these were very large national conferences for Chile, for homeschool. Chile has been one of the freer countries in Latin America and in South America with respect to home education. And so that's been a real blessing. And the movement has grown quite rapidly there in the last few years. And so there are a lot of families, especially with the pushing of the transgender stuff and all that evil stuff that's going on here as well. They get down somehow very quickly there, even though it's very far away. And we've also done one at a church after doing the other two. Pastor Rodrigo, I showed you the camp where we were at. He invited us to come to a camp, but he'd also earlier invited us to come to the church and participate in a homeschool conference at his church. And through the larger homeschool conferences, we met the Miranda family, who was one of the families that's now down in Santa Clara with us, and the Medina family, and also another family that's not there. They live now about 3 hours south of us, the Fernandez family. So three families that we've gotten to know well through those homeschool conferences. And we had two homeschool conferences at home. seeking to help homeschool parents, like I was mentioning, in the task of raising a family. We also went to the camp with Pastor Rodrigo's church. And if you were here Friday, you helped me, but some of you weren't. So I want to mention that we have two children that we invited into our home to basically be, along with our children, learning and being educated in our home. And that's Joaquin and Isaac. And Joaquin has been with us for 5 years, Monday through Friday, usually in our home, and his brother for 4 years. Now, Joaquin just turned 18, so he's, I don't know how much he'll continue, but Isaac, he's basically graduated already, but Isaac is planning on continuing with us in our home when we get back. And of course, that's a large impact on their lives, as they are learning to the importance of family worship and hearing the word of God and so on. The in our little church family, our mission church, we have the Santander family, the Miranda family, Gomez, Medina, and Lagos families, and they all have a number of children. Lagos has two children, so they're the smallest one, but we're helping them to disciple their children. And also, I showed you a picture of how the kids, they all like Taekwondo. They've been doing it here in New Jersey. And that gives us a good opportunity to get to know people in the community. And so then, you know, as we make friends, we invite them to our home. We have the opportunity to have them in our family worship in the evening, which we do in Spanish. We do morning usually in English and in the evening in Spanish. And a lot of people sitting in our devotions when they're around. That gives us an opportunity to evangelize, to present the gospel to them. Thirdly, we're gathering the saints for true biblical worship. That's of the utmost importance. And the main element of the worship is preaching and teaching the word of Christ. So again, Matthew 28, 2 Timothy 4. As a minister of the gospel, we seek to lead others to worship God according to his word and preach the gospel. Preach the truth of God's word, which is what he uses for our increase. We as a family love guests. The Lord says in some place, remember to be hospitable. And we invite them to sit in our family worship. We have worship services on the Lord's Day in our home. And what we do is we have a morning worship service. Then we, whoever would like to bring lunch, we have lunch together. And we have a Bible class in the afternoon. And an evening worship. So we kind of end up with people in our house all day long, but they enjoy it and we enjoy it too. And it's a wonderful fellowship. Really glad that the Lord led Pastor Dawson to I think it was he that started the monthly fellowship meals. And that's a great blessing where you interact with each other. And I think that's really important. There's a Bible class in the afternoon, a men's study group and a ladies' study group. And so there's opportunities there too for study the word as well together. This is on the Lord's Day. We have a midweek prayer meeting and we give a meditation. And sometimes we split up into men and ladies and have prayer, or sometimes we just stay together and the men pray. And we've also had 4 Reformation Day conferences around October 31st. They actually made it a few years ago an evangelical holiday. As November 1st is the Catholic holiday down there, the Protestants spoke up and wanted one, and so they made it a holiday. Sometimes it's on the 31st, sometimes it's November 2nd, depending on how they arrange it. But we'll take advantage of that, and we have a Reformation Day conference, and we've had 4 so far on one of those days. We seek to make more opportunities for preaching Christ and evangelizing. As Paul says, be instant in season and out of season. I'm hoping when we get back that we'll have some opportunities to even have like a little service out on the plaza in the open air, be able to preach the gospel there. And fourth and lastly, I think this is very important for the future, both here in the United States and elsewhere. We must also be preparing a future generation of church leaders. Because all of us, you know, we're never going to last forever here on earth. We are in heaven. But we need to disciple others that they may carry on the work of the church. And so it's very important to be training elders, deacons, and pastors for the future. And so I engage in discipling men. And it seems like, I know Julio has been my student. He's maybe called into the ministry. And so we're going to continue with him. But it seems like a couple of the other men, like Juan and Rodrigo, also have real potential in that area. So we hope the Lord will work there. As 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." So you have four generations, and we need to pass it on to the children. We need to pass it on to younger men, and that they can train others to live and serve Christ in the church and carry on the work of the church and the work of the gospel. In the past, I had opportunity at seminary down there to teach theology, logic, Greek, history of theology, and homiletics. I've done those with Julio, in particular theology and history of theology. And we started with Greek with him. And pastoring, of course, these men and seeking to disciple them so that they may disciple others. So to sum it up, all of us have the responsibility to go and teach all nations, making disciples of Christ. And that starts at home. You know, as it says in Acts chapter 1, "And ye shall be my witnesses," once you've received the power from the Holy Ghost, "both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So we don't want to just only send missionaries far away, but we all need to be lights in our own home area in Jerusalem first, and go expand from there. We have the responsibility to go and teach all nations and prepare the future generations for the church. So as Christ's witnesses, you and I must proclaim the truth of God and the truth of Christ constantly and patiently with reproof, seeking to make disciples of Christ. Now keep our eyes on that goal. We want people to be followers of Christ in the future. And not simply raise a hand and say that they, you know, want to become Christians, but that they actually would be followers of Christ. You must start with your own family, and love is the key, I think. Love is the great ingredient that in a sense, wins souls. We must help parents to disciple their children. If you have children that are parents, you know, if they're open to help, seek to help them disciple their children. And love is the key again. You must disciple the younger people. And love is the key. Be an example to them. And may the Lord help us in that. We must all worship the Lord. We must all prepare for the future of the church. Be preparing servants for the future of Christ. And this is what we're seeking to constantly do in Chile. Imperfectly, but by the grace of God, we trust He will build His church there as well, and what you all need to continue doing here. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this these applicatory thoughts with respect to our responsibility as a church and as your body and as Christians to make disciples of others. Lord, we pray for your mercies and grace to our family. We thank you that even the furthest child is not out of your reach. Lord, that we pray for your mercy for prodigals and for any children that have gone far from their home. Lord, that you and grace would draw them back again, draw them to Christ, and cause them to follow in your way. Lord, bring people along in their paths that would be a light of Christ to them. And we pray for the salvation of all the children of the church and of your people. And Lord, we also pray for the future of the church, and that you help us in training ministers, and that you would call and raise up laborers for a future harvest in your church and the needs of the church for the future. And we ask thy blessing, thy grace, and that you'd also provide ones that would go afar, Lord, as Reuben, for example, and Lydia, and Lord, that you would bring in the harvest of souls for your eternal kingdom. And we thank you that we can each be a part of this as we seek to serve you, as we seek to honor you and obey your commandments. And we pray your grace and blessing in Thank you for it in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.